Y'all, this is a Thursday that feels like it got drunk and woke up and decided it was a Monday. It discombobulated. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. What show is this? It's my show, the Eric Erickson Show. I got up this morning. I overslept. I got a phone call from someone I hadn't talked to in a while and suddenly was left scrambling when I realized what time it was. It's been one of those days. But, I don't know that I'm even needed. I don't know that I'm needed because it looked like we were on the verge of World War III. You had this absolute apoplectic panic by members of the media, members of the Democratic Party and the like, and suddenly they're all talking about Meghan and Harry. What happened to World War III? Aren't we supposed to be in World War III? I thought the nukes were flying, or the intercontinental ballistic missiles. No, Meghan and Harry apparently have decided that they're not going to be a part of the royal family anymore. And the British are livid, by the way. The British are exceedingly upset. Why? Because in their statement, apparently Meghan and Harry have decided they want all the trappings of royalty with none of the work. They want police protection. They want most but not all of the royal income. They won't take the income from the Queen, but they will from Prince Charles. They still want to live in their mansion that the Queen gave them. The British are really upset about it. But, why am I even talking about it? I shouldn't be talking about this, but this is the juxtaposition. 48 hours ago, across America, on every TV screen, you had people in the media in full meltdown mode because the president had started World War III when the Iranians responded. I mean, that was it. When the Iranians responded, you had this World War III meltdown. You had, I got to tell you, MSNBC running the propaganda for the Iranians the other night. You had, I'm trying to find this clip here as I'm talking, because I gotta play this clip for you. This is Steve Schmidt, who helped run the John McCain losing campaign, in full meltdown as the Iranian missiles are incoming into Iraq the other night.
We've entered into a hot war with Iran. American personnel are under attack by Iranian ballistic missiles right now as we speak. This has been wrought by the judgment of a president who was very clear over the course of the campaign that he knows more than all of the generals. We have seen the diplomatic corps of the United States utterly gutted over the last 3 years. We have policy made by tweet, by watching Fox and Friends. There is no indication, except in an alternate fantasy land universe, that this now will be the moment where we see judiciousness on the part of the president of the United States. And so when we look at this situation now, and we look at the fact that there has de facto been a civil war between Sunni and Shia playing out over the last decade across the whole of the Middle East through proxies in Yemen, in Lebanon, in Iraq, we now see a direct military engagement between Iran and the United States. And I think the chances that the United States will allow a ballistic missile attack to go unanswered are extremely low. And so now we stand at a most dangerous hour, waiting for the next page to turn. And this could very quickly become a wider regional war.
This was a John McCain political strategist who knows really nothing of war and diplomacy. MSNBC gave him just unfettered access to their airwaves the other night to tell us that war was coming, it was the end of the world, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and that they were, while they ran propaganda. This is from Mediaite, Caleb Howe. Headline, MSNBC kept reporting false Iranian propaganda about dead American troops during the attack.
They've launched that first wave of attacks in revenge for Soleimani's killing. We're getting reports, as you just mentioned, that they have launched a second wave of attacks in that same vicinity. We're also getting unconfirmed reports from state media saying that they have leveled the Ayn al-Assad base in Iraq and they have killed 30 U.S. troops. Now, Iran is saying that if there is any retaliation from the United States from these latest two attacks that they have launched by the IRGC directly, they will target all U.S. bases, and the first immediate targets will be in Dubai because U.S. planes have been reported to take off from Dubai. They said that they will destroy what they called that tourism resort. They definitely thought that they had to retaliate no matter what happens. The mentality here amongst the leadership was that if they don't strike back, they're going to come across as weak and there will be more pressure from America on Iran. Now, the question is the proportionality of this attack. As you mentioned, the reports of the level of damage and the casualties are completely unconfirmed. But if it's a small attack, it could give the United States enough space not to launch an all-out reprisal. But if we are talking about, you know, 10, 20s, 30s numbers of U.S. personnel being killed, I don't think President Trump is going to see that as proportional.
That was MSNBC continuing repeatedly while the missiles were in the air and landing around Iraq to talk propaganda, the Iranian propaganda. I'm sorry, Iranian. I got a note last night from somewhere and then I'm saying Iran and it should be Iran. To quote Winston Churchill, if I wanted to say Paris instead of Paris, I would have been born in France and already surrendered. I'm an American. I'll say whatever the heck I want to say when I pronounce the country's name. I lived over there and you didn't. Nonetheless, it just this whole thing. So the media, what is the media response? The media immediately pivots to, hey, Harry and Meghan, let's talk about them. World War III didn't happen. Now, of course, today they're back on because Mike Lee is really mad at the president. I will get into what Mike Lee said. But there is actually some happening now news that I want to play for. This is completely not about Iran. Remember impeachment? Impeachment was happening. Well, the media has been telling us how genius Nancy Pelosi is for not handing over the articles. There's a rebellion brewing. Dianne Feinstein has come out. Dick Durbin has come out in the Senate and said, yeah, bring us the articles. And now we've got the first chairman in the House, the chairman of the Armed Services Committee, Adam Smith, is out. This literally just happened like 10 minutes ago.
Is it time, Chairman?
I think it is. I mean, I understand what the speaker is trying to do, basically trying to use the leverage of that to work with Democratic and Republican senators to try to get a reasonable trial, a trial that would actually, you know, show evidence, bring out witnesses. But at the end of the day, just like we control it in the House, Mitch McConnell controls it in the Senate. I think it was perfectly advisable for the speaker to try to leverage that to get a better deal. At this point, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And yes, I think it is time to send the impeachment to the Senate and let Mitch McConnell be responsible for the fairness of the trial.
We've heard all of these genius stories that Nancy Pelosi, she was a strategic genius, and Mitch McConnell's an idiot and adult and on, and here comes now the chairman of the defense, the Armed Services Committee in the House saying, yo, get this done now. I want to spend time on impeachment today, but we really got to deal with the situation in Iraq first and finish concluding what happened in Iraq, because there's a lot there. I do need to say, though, the president's killing of Soleimani has made America great again in a way I did not know that was going to happen. I learned this morning that the rapper, terrible, terrible rapper, Cardi B, she apparently has a house in Atlanta. But Cardi B has announced, because President Trump killed Soleimani and is destabilizing America, she is taking Nigerian citizenship and is going to move. Now, I can only speculate here, but I'm assuming she got an email promising her a few million dollars into her bank account if she would marry the emailer and hand over access to her bank account, and she's decided to take the person up on the offer and fly to Nigeria. We'll see. Nigerian prince going to marry her? I don't know. But she is, Cardi B saying she is going to take Nigerian citizenship because of President Trump. This is indisputable evidence that Donald Trump is making America great again. That we might lose a bad singer who really doesn't know a whole lot about geopolitics. We might lose her to Nigeria because the president killed Soleimani. Clearly, he is making America great again. Now, I want to get into the detailed rub here of how this played out, what we now know, and we need to delve into the issue of the Obama administration, too, and their culpability here. There is a coordinated pushback now from the Obama administration because of what the president said during his speech last night. Listen to this from the president yesterday. You know, we waited around all day for the president to speak yesterday. He finally spoke right as we were headed into commercial break yesterday. This is part of what he said.
If you value your own life, you will not threaten the lives of our people. As we continue to evaluate options in response to Iranian aggression, the United States will immediately impose additional punishing economic sanctions on the Iranian regime. These powerful sanctions will remain until Iran changes its behavior. In recent months alone, Iran has seized ships in international waters, fired an unprovoked strike on Saudi Arabia, and shot down two U.S. drones. Iran's hostilities substantially increased after the foolish Iran nuclear deal was signed in 2013, and they were given $150 billion, not to mention $1.8 billion in cash. Instead of saying thank you to the United States, they chanted death to America. In fact, they chanted death to America the day the agreement was signed. Then Iran went on a terror spree, funded by the money from the deal, and created hell in Yemen, Syria, Lebanon, Afghanistan, and Iraq. The missiles fired last night at us and our allies were paid for with the funds made available by the last administration. The regime also greatly tightened the reins on their own country, even recently killing 1,500 people at the many protests that are taking place all throughout Iran. The very defective JCPOA expires shortly anyway and gives Iran a clear and quick path to nuclear breakout. Iran must abandon its nuclear ambitions and end its support for terrorism.
That's the president of the United States yesterday dragging this back into the Obama administration and the missiles from the Obama administration, the missiles the Obama administration helped fund. I actually want to spend a little bit of time with you on this because there is extraordinary pushback coming from Obama-friendly reporters and people who are in the Obama administration. And their pushback cannot negate the facts, that there are real facts out there. There is real truth out there. And I want to explore that truth and bring you up to speed on what we actually know for certain about the Obama administration and the Iranian missiles that were fired yesterday when we come back.
Well-connected and well-respected. It's Eric Erickson, live every weekday.
It is 23 after the hour. It is Eric Erickson here. It is my show. This hour is sponsored by First Liberty of Georgia. If you are in charge of the financing of a small or medium-sized business and you want that business to grow, if you have your own business and you want your business to grow and you need access to capital, you need a bank loan or something, and you don't want to deal with the bank bureaucracy, go to FirstLibertyGA.com. First Liberty of Georgia, FirstLibertyGA.com. The Frost family, they make their own lending decisions there. They're fantastic. They're actually good friends of mine, and I could not have gotten this show off the ground without their help and their sponsorship. They are really good people. They are great conservatives, good Christian family, and they have a great company that can help your business. If you need help for your business and you don't want to deal with the bank, deal with First Liberty of Georgia. Really good people. FirstLibertyGA.com. Tell them I sent you. Great way to support this program as we continue our work to build advertisers. We couldn't do it without First Liberty of Georgia. I want to return the favor to them. So go check them out. FirstLibertyGA.com. The president made his claim yesterday, I played you the audio, that the Obama administration was responsible for the Iranians able to develop their ballistic missile program and get it going. I want to play you this exchange between Andrea Mitchell and Susan Rice on MSNBC.
I just want to fact check also the $150 billion that the president suggested helped pay for the missiles that were launched last night.
You already fact checked that. The fact is that's another lie. The $150 billion, as you pointed out, was Iranian money that was unfrozen as a result of the nuclear deal, and they have been complying with the nuclear deal. That's not America giving Iran $150 billion. Quite the contrary. And Iran has had these sophisticated missiles. They've been developing their capacity for many, many years. To say that that money funded the attack on our personnel and on our base is just the most disgraceful kind of lie of the sort that, unfortunately, President Trump tells every day.
You know, except it's not a lie. I want to play you John King on CNN yesterday pushing back on some of this Democratic talking point business.
It appeared the president wanted to step back, but he didn't want to just step back. He wanted to have some slap back as well with the form of sanctions. The question is what he said realistic? This is a tough one for any president. It took years to negotiate the agreement the Obama administration negotiated with key allies around the world. The Trump administration has never liked that deal. Everyone who negotiated knew it was limited, that yes, it put some brakes on the nuclear program, but it did not stop the ballistic missile program. It did not stop nefarious malign behavior in the region. That's what this administration has complained about. The president today saying now should be the moment after the United States takes out an Iranian military general, the Iranians fire back with 15 missiles. He says now should be the moment that the countries that have refused to go his way and walk away from the deal should do so.
David Arsenyi over at National Review has this. In his address to the nation this morning, Donald Trump asserted the ballistic missiles that targeted the al-Assad and Erbil bases in Iraq yesterday were paid for using, quote, funds made available by the last administration. Few things irritate media fact checkers more than Trump's accusation that Obama helped fund the Iranian regime and its terror apparatus, probably because it's completely true. Now, we don't know that Obama's ransom payments to Iran in 2016 subsidized these specific ballistic missiles, but we do know that money is fungible, especially when you have access to small denominations of European cash, and that the military, Iranian Revolutionary Guard, and Hezbollah were the major beneficiaries of the replenished coffers of the Iranian state. Distinctions over the details of the exact allocation would be completely irrelevant in any conversation not involving Donald Trump. Yet Andrea Mitchell, CNN, and the usual suspects rallied to Obama's defense. We never owed the Islamic Republic any money, they say. This is a myth. In 2016, the United States was in the middle of an unresolved dispute in front of the Iran-U.S. Claims Tribunal at The Hague over cash advanced by the Shah for military equipment we refused to deliver after the 79 Revolution. You might recall this is when Iran began prosecuting its war against the United States, taking hostages and killing service members. It's unlikely the U.S. would have been obliged to hand over any of this. The Wall Street Journal reported the administration had secretly airlifted $400 million in ransom payments for four Americans detained in Tehran. We were never informed about the cash transfer, and Obama never offered any legal justification or accounting for the billions he transferred. Reporters like to point out that $150 billion is almost surely a high-end estimate, is Iranian money. But they never actually had to send that money to Iran. The Obama administration got shaken down by the Iranian regime, and we gave them back the money we did not have to give them. Y'all, if you have a friend or relative who has a drug addiction, in the same way Iran is just totally defined now by their addiction to committing terror around the world. If you have a son, a daughter, a husband, a wife, a relative, a friend who has a drug addiction, and you find drug paraphernalia or drugs that are that person's, do you give it back to them, knowing what they're going to do? Iran has a terror addiction. That is what Iran does. Iran funds terrorism around the world. It is what it does. We had $150 billion sitting in bank accounts that was Iranian money that would be used to fund terror. John Kerry himself admitted they would fund terror. Why did we give that back to them so they could fund terror? That $150 billion, it wound up being $55 billion when all Iran's debts were paid. We didn't have to give it to them. We led the world and convinced the world to give them that money. Barack Obama did that. He deserves responsibility for what Iran has been doing with that money ever since, which is building IEDs and funding terrorism and launching missiles at American positions. That is Obama's legacy. All right, I want to spend a moment commending, actually, Jake Tapper on CNN. Now, I know Jake. I don't know Jake super well, but we've known each other for a while. I would say he's on the friend side of the acquaintance denominator. We chat a lot. I really do think highly of him. We don't always agree. I think he does sometimes see the world differently from me. That's fine. I think he's a far better journalist than most of Washington. He understands his biases and does work to try to compensate on those biases. And he has done what any other journalist could have done had they wanted to do it, and that is to explain why the administration decided to take out Soleimani. One of the reasons why. There's more information that has come out on why they've decided to take out Soleimani. I want to get to that, but first I want to get to Jake Tapper's report. This is Jake Tapper from CNN.
Iranian General Qasem Soleimani headed an organization labeled terrorist by the U.S. government, accused of being the architect behind the killings of more than 600 U.S. service members during the Iraq War, and severely injuring many others, forever changing their lives. How did Soleimani do this? Bombs called explosively formed penetrators, or EFPs. The Pentagon says Soleimani gave hundreds of EFPs to Iranian militias and terrorist groups in order to attack American forces in Iraq. The EFP is a weapon former Army Sergeant Brian Anderson knows all too well.
When the explosion went off, it cut my legs and my hand off instantly. My legs were on the floorboard, my hand was in the passenger seat, and it actually spun me sideways. And as I started looking down, they tried to force my head back down to the ground, hoping I wouldn't see what had happened.
Anderson lost both his legs, his left hand, and a finger on his right hand from an EFP blast.
That copper plate liquefies and literally just melts through your armor. It's not piercing it, it's melting through it.
Though not all of Soleimani's victims were from EFP attacks, U.S. Central Command estimates nearly 200 American service members were killed by Iranian-made EFPs between 2005 and 2011, and more than 850 others were wounded.
The EFPs are really directional explosions that shoot a projectile in a single direction that achieves hypervelocity with incredible, horrible results.
As the Iraq War went on, officials were able to tie these weapons back to Iran and to Soleimani.
There is pretty good evidence tying these EFPs to the Iranians.
And that forced the U.S. to change its strategy in Iraq.
As a result of the EFPs, I can state with clarity and certainty that the MRAP was devised and we had to adapt how we went to war against this monstrous capability.
And, at least for one victim of the brutal weapon, the death of the man responsible for his grievous injuries has given him some solace.
Finding out that they got this guy, he's like the brains, the mastermind behind all of that. And this world is a much better place without him.
It is. And kudos to Jake Tapper for explaining that, what he did. The New York Times has a pretty comprehensive report out on how the attack went down, how the Iranian response was handled. And let me read you some of this. It's actually a fascinating account from inside the White House. The alert came to the White House shortly before 2 p.m. on Tuesday, a flash message from American spy agencies, officials refer to as a squawk. In the coming hours, it warned, an Iranian attack on American troops was almost certain. A blizzard of potential threats had already come throughout the day, of attacks with missiles and rockets, of terrorist strikes against Americans elsewhere in the Middle East, even one warning that hundreds of Iranian-backed militia fighters may try to assault Al-Asad Air Base, a sprawling compound in the western desert. But the specificity of the afternoon's latest warning sent Vice President Mike Pence and Robert O'Brien, the White House National Security Advisor, to the basement of the West Wing, where aides were assembled in the Situation Room. President Trump joined them after wrapping up a meeting with the Greek Prime Minister. 3 hours later, a hail of ballistic missiles launched from Iran crashed into two bases in Iraq, including Al-Asad, where roughly 1,000 American troops are stationed. The strikes capped a frenetic day filled with confusion and misinformation. Now, here are a couple of things we need to account for. According to this report, spy satellites had been tracking the movements of Iran's arsenal of missile launchers, and communications among military leaders intercepted by the National Security Agency indicated that the response to General Soleimani's killing might come that day. Al-Asad base in Iraq's Anbar province was the focus of numerous vague threat reports, including one warning that hundreds of Hezbollah and militia might launch a base. The base was relatively vulnerable. It had no Patriot missiles. They had been deployed to other countries in the Middle East. American commanders prepared to partly evacuate the base and assign most other remaining forces to hardened shelters to ride out whatever attack might come. By morning in Washington, the intelligence was still vague. Now, here's where it gets interesting. According to this, with sandwiches piled on the sideboard in the room, the group that advised the president there at different times of the day included a handful of seasoned national security officials, including the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, a veteran with 40 years, Keith Kellogg, retired Army Lieutenant General who serves as National Security Advisor to Pence, and Joseph McGuire, the acting director of National Intelligence. It also included Mr. Pompeo, and it included by video screen, this is the relevant portion, Gina Haspel, the CIA director. She was monitoring the situation from the CIA headquarters in Northern Virginia. In the days before Soleimani's death, Ms. Haspel had advised Mr. Trump that the threat the Iranian general presented was greater than the threat of Iran's response if he was killed. Ms. Haspel had actually predicted the most likely response from the Iranians would be a missile strike from Iran to bases where American troops were deployed, the very situation playing out. Ms. Haspel took no formal position about whether to kill General Soleimani. Officials who listened to her analysis came away with a clear view. The CIA believed that killing him would improve, not weaken, security in the Middle East. The CIA, the director of the CIA, is actually highly regarded by both sides in Washington, D.C. First woman in that position, she's a careerist. She has served very diligently. Republicans think very highly of her. So do the Democrats. For it to be let known that she presented the president with the data to show him that, in fact, killing Soleimani would probably result in a base missile strike and nothing else, and that him getting rid of him would actually make the situation over there more stable, not less stable. Pretty big deal that this comes out from her, because she does like to stay in the shadows and like to stay out of it. The fact that the CIA gave the president the impression that we would all be better off without Soleimani, probably the biggest flag there that they helped direct it. Now, all of this comes on the heels of the briefing yesterday at the White House, or at Congress, rather. You had a Senate briefing and a House briefing. There were various reactions. Mike Lee kind of is making the headlines here. He's the senator from Utah, good friend of mine. And he was not happy with the briefing they got from the White House. This is part of the press conference.
I find this insulting. and demeaning, not personally, but to the office that each of the 100 senators in this building happens to hold. I find it insulting and I find it demeaning to the Constitution of the United States, to which we've all sworn an oath. It is, after all, the prerogative of the legislative branch to declare war. Article 1, Section 8 makes that very clear. Alexander Hamilton in Federalist Number 69 made clear that this was a sharp contrast from the form of government that we had prior to the Revolution, a form of government in which the executive, the king, had the power to take us to war. He did not need the Parliament to weigh in on it, to support it. That was the Parliament's job after the fact, after we had gone into war. This, Hamilton explained in Federalist 69, is exactly the reason why this power was put in Article 1, Section 8, in the branch of government most accountable to the people at the most regular intervals.
Well, some of that has to do with what's called sources and methods, Savannah, if we were to share all of the intelligence, and in fact, some of the most compelling evidence that Qassem Soleimani was preparing an imminent attack against American forces and American personnel, also represents some of the most sensitive intelligence that we have.
This is the vice president. I hit play too fast. I didn't realize it would actually fire up the audio immediately. So that was that. You heard Mike Pence blasting the briefing, and the vice president actually is coming on responding on the Today Show this morning to explain the intelligence and why they couldn't give an in-depth deep dive to Congress.
It could compromise those sources and methods. So look,
even in a classified
tremendous
setting.
Respect. I have tremendous respect for Senator Mike Lee. I recognize he's had a difference of opinion with our administration over self-defense measures the president authorized in Yemen. But look, we'll welcome those debates going forward. But I can assure your viewers that those of us that have seen all the evidence, that saw the evidence in real time, know that President Trump made the right decision to take Qassem Soleimani off the battlefield. America is safer. The world is safer. Now, even after the Iranian response, no American casualties, and Iran is standing down.
And then just one final question, because you're talking about the evidence, the strength of the evidence, the intelligence that you have seen, but that is not available to the public. You know, the president, as you well know, has been vocally dismissive of our intelligence agencies. In fact, in a tweet earlier this year, he called our Iran intelligence in particular passive and naive and said perhaps they should go back to school. But he now says he wants the U.S. Public to trust the intelligence. Does he himself have a different view now of our intelligence?
Well, I can tell you, in President Donald Trump, the American people have a leader that is always going to ask the tough questions, whether it be military personnel or intelligence personnel. But I can tell you, I was there every step of the way, Savannah, and we were gathering intelligence in real time that was brought to the president that Qassem Soleimani was planning imminent attacks in response to our airstrikes on five Iranian-backed militia bases. He was planning imminent attacks that were larger in the region against American forces, and President Donald Trump put American lives and American protection first.
That was Vice President Pence responding to Mike Lee. Now, Mike Lee went on overnight onto Fox News with Martha McCallum, I'm sorry. Again, this is a Thursday that is behaving like a Monday. Mike Lee went on. I want to play a little more from Mike Lee last night with Fox News, his concerns. The reason this is relevant is the House Democrats want to vote on restricting the war powers of the president. Some Republicans are pushing back on that. I don't think they should necessarily, although I haven't seen this particular resolution. We need to actually curtail the president's ability to make war. The president would still be justified under the Constitution to have taken out Soleimani with or without revisions of the War Powers Resolution. This particular War Powers Resolution would not restrain the president from being able to protect American interests abroad without going to Congress first. But there may be some restraint needed. And Mike Lee really aggravated by the briefing yesterday.
As to the substance of the strike itself on Friday with General Soleimani, he was a bad guy. I have yet to take a position on that. I was hoping to be able to reach a conclusion as to the logical, legal, constitutional, and moral justification today. I didn't feel like I got my questions answered. I'm willing to assume for purposes of this discussion with you right now, Martha, that that may have been legally justifiable. What I'm concerned about is the flippant attitude that they reflected, both with regard to the underlying facts on Friday's attack, and especially as they relate moving forward to any subsequent attack that we might undertake on Iran. There was a dismissive attitude, one that was displayed in such a way that they resulted in them saying, we can't identify what circumstances in which we would need to come back to Congress to get approval or authorization. That's antithetical to the Constitution, and it's not something that we can countenance. We've been drifting for decades away from the constitutional separation of powers, in which Congress only wields the power to declare war. Now, look, I support President Trump. I support the way that he has wielded his power as commander-in-chief. I think he's actually been the most respectful of all presidents during my lifetime.
So let's not blow Mike Lee's concerns out of proportion here, like some of the media wants to do this morning, that they're using his statements as justification for saying that Soleimani, the president overreacted and should not have taken out Soleimani. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that the White House staff could not provide him a reason for when Congress should get involved, and essentially told Republican members of Congress that because they're Republican, they got to support the president on this, whether they want to or not. And so he's not opposed. He doesn't have all the information, he says, but he wasn't opposed to striking Soleimani. He's just opposed to the idea that the president can strike anyone at any time for any reason without going to Congress first, which under the Constitution, that's unconstitutional. And he didn't like that the White House staff essentially told him, you got to support it because you're a Republican. He's actually a United States senator. He's sworn to uphold, protect, and defend the Constitution, not the president. They handled it badly. Let's not overplay what Mike Lee said, though. And if you watch some of the media this morning, watch some of the news, the big headline is Mike Lee is essentially saying there was no justification for killing Soleimani. That is not what he said. It is striking how much of the media wants to interpret all of this to make the president look as bad as possible. And they're doing their best to do that. They're trying to use people like Mike Lee. Mike is smart enough to know it, which is why he went on Fox to set the record straight. You know, well, I'm going to save this point. Come back, because there's a point to be made that I bet many of you haven't thought of when it comes to all of this.
News and in-depth analysis from Eric Erickson, live 5 days a week and always online at theresurgent.com.
Hello there. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425, except you can't actually call in today. I will tell you why you can't call in, and I know he's listening, because you can get me now live from Chattanooga all the way to Valdosta. And he's driving to Florida. My call screener, who left me for 2.5 weeks to go to Montana for Christmas, has decided to go kill hogs in Florida. That's right. He needed to work out some I guess being cooped up with the family in Montana for 2.5 weeks in the snow, decided he needed to go south to Florida to kill hogs. So he's driving there right now, listening to me, I'm sure. He better be listening to me. He'll be critiquing me. Nonetheless, he's driving to Florida to kill hogs, and as a result, I don't have a call screener today, so you can't actually call me. You'll have to get me on social media at EW Erickson on Twitter or on Instagram or whatnot. You can still get me, but yeah, there's that's the situation. Okay, I'm sure you wanted to know that. There's a point that needs to be made here about the president, and Iraq Ross Douthat of the New York Times has made this point now several times, and it is worth mentioning. Donald Trump is the first president in the 21st century to not go to war in the Middle East. For all of the talk about Donald Trump being irrational, he's impulsive, you name it, the president of the United States has not started an engagement in the Middle East. He did not go into Libya like Barack Obama. He did not go into Iraq and Afghanistan like George W. Bush. He has been far more restrained than his two predecessors. You may not like the president, but you have to acknowledge the fact that he hasn't started any wars. And you know that that's one of the funny things about the rhetoric from the left these days is they say that this president is a warmonger. They say he's out of control. They say he's going to get us all killed. They say he's deeply destabilizing. And this is the first president in the 21st century to not start a war. This is actually the first president of the 21st century to want to pull our troops out of everywhere. This is actually the first president in the 21st century to not have some sort of mad campaign to reshape the world and build new nations. Even Barack Obama did that. He wanted to do it in Syria. He engaged in Libya. And Barack Obama would say he didn't want to do these things, but everybody said they didn't want to do these things, and they still did them anyway. And Donald Trump hasn't. I got plenty of criticisms of this president and how he handles things. But his foreign policy seems to be much more based in reality than the prior foreign policy of President Obama, who just decided that he wanted to reshape things and think differently about things. Barack Obama decided that he wasn't going to pursue an Israeli-Palestinian peace deal. He was going to pursue a peace deal with Iran. And he wanted it so badly, he was willing to turn a blind eye against reality and do things he never should have done. And in the process, gave Iran billions of dollars that could be used by Iran to strike Americans abroad. Donald Trump hasn't done that. There's a big criticism of Donald Trump is that he uses sanctions too much on too many people, including friends, tariffs and sanctions. But what he's doing really isn't a bad thing when it comes to Iran in particular. Yeah, he took out Soleimani and his advisors told him the world would be safer if he did. You heard the soldier in the Jake Tapper interview. Given the number of Americans who have lost limbs and died at that man's hands, under that man's authority, he deserved to die. Some people need killing. He certainly did. You may not like it put that bluntly, but it's the truth. And the president did it, and we're better and safer today because of it. That's just the truth, whether the Democrats want to admit it or not.